Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
So we have two questions today, and they address the issue of compensation changes resulting in less income. Not okay, right?
Nobody wants fun.
No one wants their income to go down. So the first question involves a new manager who has to deal with disgruntled employees who've just had their overtime pay taken away. Yeah. And our second question comes from an employee whose compensation arrangement just got much less profitable. Yeah, these are not fun, but they happen.
Right. Well, they are both really tough situations, especially because they involve essentially loss in terms of your livelihood and unwanted change.
Yeah. Okay. Let's just go with what's question number one, Logan.
Let's go.
I recently took a job as a controller at a small family-owned company. I have two people under me, and when I started, the management took their overtime away. They are constantly complaining to me that they took a pay cut and want more money. They're both at the top of their salary levels, and I'm just tired of hearing them complain. What do you suggest I do?
Yeah, I mean, that's really too bad that that happened to them. I don't know what the economic situation is in that company, but I think as a new manager, I would try to make it look like I was helping them.
How would you do that?
I mean, more than you know, making it look, but actually, you know, go to the owner of the company or whoever you need to go to and say, look, what can we do? We have to give them something. If we can't give them overtime pay, maybe we can have contests or maybe we can figure out another way to give them something, because I am dealing with the ramifications of that, and I didn't make that decision.
And you say either we do something or you've got to be willing to let them go, or
Also, I mean, I think once you're, you know, I don't know where this is, if it's a company in... When the question came in, the person didn't say where they are. They may be in a small town, and there really aren't any other places to get a job. But generally, when your overtime is cut, there's usually a good reason. I don't know whether the company, the owner, is making so much money that they just don't want the staff to have it, or if, in fact, there isn't enough.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Actually, it's funny. You're much kinder in this question.
Catherine, what are you... go ahead.
What are you going to do, Catherine? Fire him.
My idea was to sympathize, but also be very clear that things aren't going to change.
Oh my goodness, you are cold. No, I think that things change all the time.
Well, they do, and also the thing about a family-owned business also.
Well, we don't know if it's a family-owned business.
It says small family-owned business.
Oh, I missed that part. Okay.
Yeah, that chances are that these employees have been there for a while, I would guess. We don't know, but I'd say there's a good chance of that. And the other piece is, what I really like about your going to the owner or the top executive is that, in fact, it is that individual who needs to communicate with these employees, right, ultimately. Even if it is to say, I'm sorry, you're unhappy, but it's not going to change.
I mean, it's a hardship, so they need to do something.
Yeah.
You know, free turkeys, something. They need to give them. I once worked for a company.
Free ice cream in the summer.
And every Thanksgiving, you would get a frozen turkey. This was Wrangler jeans, owned by a company called Bluebell. Uh-huh. And I remember carrying that frozen turkey home on the subway. I'm sure, you know, most of their employees got into a car. I got on the subway and dragged those turkeys home every year. Anyway.
Do you think that would help them feel better about losing the overtime?
You know, I just brought that up because I remember, you know, getting a free turkey. Something. I mean, I was a little suspicious. Like, how many frozen turkeys did they get? And it was a little off.
Who got two frozen turkeys as opposed to your just one?
But I do think that there are things that companies can do once a compensation is taken away.
Yeah.
Look, you can't expect people to just go, you know, oh, that's a good decision. We're all for that.
Right.
No, they're not. So I think you have to come up with different ways to make them comfortable.
Yeah. So you're saying to this controller who is understandably probably tired of for that individual who never was here when they had the overtime, it just feels like a lot of complaining.
Right.
Right. But the fact is, as you're saying, this is a negative change that the employees are dealing with. It's obviously hurting them financially, and that part of your job is to address it. Don't ignore it. Don't try to pat them on the back and just hope they'll get it.
Maybe she won't be able or he won't be able to accomplish anything, but it will build trust if you go and you try to get them something.
That's such a good point, Kathy.
Something.
frozen turkeys or you know gift card somewhere
Well, did you ever get anything like that in any company?
No, I'm trying to think of what I got. I mean, in the Peace Corps, they would give us like paperweights and things like that. I don't know how far those went, but they would give other opportunities, which I think speaks to what you're saying, that where you might get to go to a conference or you may get to attend a workshop or do something that's like would further educate you and therefore give you better skills.
Well, look, overtime money is usually time and a half. It's good money.
Yeah.
And if people became reliant on that money, you know, where did it go? It went towards paying bills. Maybe it went towards education or it went towards trips. So you may have a contest where somebody can win one of those trips. Like make it, you know, give them something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can't just take people's money away and expect them to just be okay about it.
Well, unless you're okay with them quitting. You know,
right.
So if the business owner or the owners of this small family-owned company are willing to risk that, that may be the case. In which case, you would come and deliver that message as well.
Right? I also worked. This is at a different company, not a Wrangler.
Family-owned.
Where it was family-owned, and we were not making that much money because it was fairly new startup.
Right.
But I remember the owner's daughter coming in one day and saying, "Wow, y'all, we all had a great Christmas. Thank you." And I thought, really, because we didn't.
Right.
And so don't do that. If it's a family business.
Don't come in your fur coat.
Right. Don't have the family come and thank the workers for
drive the BMW and wave from the convertible.
So if you don't be counting your money at your
right.
desk.
And I've seen people get embezzled also by not paying the staff well, but then flaunting how much they have.
Well, here's another interesting.
Twice, actually.
That's a good point. Wow. I've also seen companies send a message passively. Aggressively, is that the proper way to say
maybe.
It?
Maybe. Mm-hmm.
Where you're saying we're cutting off your overtime, but what we really want is for you to leave. You know, what we're really saying is we don't, because they remember that these are both people are at the top of their salary levels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a problem.
So sometimes that's the.
They're not going to pay you anymore.
Right. I'm not going to pay you.
You're too expensive for
them. Or maybe our business has gone down significantly and we can't do what we've been doing, as you mentioned before.
But I think there's some truth to that in companies. If you are the inexpensive employee, you know, watch your back.
Yeah.
Because at a certain point, you know, you're a target.
Yeah. Right. You might also get them admittance to a major networking group so they can build their network.
Oh, hire a resume. There's someone who's going to help you write your resume for free.
We're going to have a resume writing workshop here.
Okay. Well, I think we got the answer.
All right.
That.
So just to clarify, you're saying that this controller should go to the owner or the CEO and present this situation and say, what can we do to compensate these individuals?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And see what happens.
Right. And if, you know, the controller finds out that the owner wants them to leave, well, then that's a different message.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Then you just say, sorry, there's nothing I can do about it to those individuals.
Well, I still would say to them, I've gone to bat for you, and it seems to me that we've hit the end of the road here.
Yeah.
So you have some hard decisions
to make. End of your road here.
You have hard decisions to make, and I would suggest that you make some decisions about your career. Because there's probably not a growth path for you here financially.
You can, or any other way, by the way. I think this point is so great that as the controller, the one thing you can do is go and ask the big question and come back with information to those individuals. Mm-hmm. And then you know that you've done what you can do.
Yeah. I think, you know, communication is key. It's okay to let people know where they stand.
Yeah.
The less you tell, the more acting out you're going to get.
And the more assumptions are made.
The worse it is.
Right.
They assume the wrong thing.
Yeah. I feel for this controller, I just want to say. It's hard to come in at a time when...
Well, the controller sent us the question, so thank you.
Yes, thank you for your question.
All right, let's take a quick commercial break and come back with another situation.
If you like this podcast, you might want Kathy and Catherine to come into your company.
Yes, we can come into your company, give a lecture as a lunch and learn.
Or we can be your next keynote speakers at your conference.
Or we can give a webinar, teleconference, or a live interactive workshop.
Choose from a large number of topics such as dealing with difficult people at work, managing up, the business of setting boundaries, and numerous others. Check out our website for more.
Or just give us a call or send an email. All of our contact information is on our website, ksquaredenterprises.com. All right, welcome back, everyone. Logan, what's our next question?
I'm in sales for an automotive parts company. I'm the number one salesperson for the last 5 years, and until recently, I've been very happy with my compensation. Now the company has given us higher goals than ever, with a lower commission rate. There's no way I'm going to make the money I've made to date. I'd have to work twice the hours, and I've already been working really hard. What do I do?
See, I think if you're the number one salesperson, you can go make a private deal. I think you can. Maybe you can't, but I think you can. Because they're probably not going to want to lose you.
Yeah.
If they do want to lose you, well, then you have that information, and you're probably very marketable.
Yes. Well, actually, what I was thinking is something that you've mentioned before, which is that you're always more valuable when someone else wants you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So one thing you might do if they're not willing to adjust this commission rate for you is to start looking for a better opportunity or another opportunity.
And then quit.
Quit or let your employer know that you've got this and that you will take it. You have to be ready to take it, right?
Right. Well, I think that is a great strategy because if you were to get another position, they may counteroffer.
Right.
If they want you. And if it's not still not a great deal, you know, then at least you've got a better offer.
Yeah. You know, again, this just brings that whole question of whether I don't know if automotive parts is that a growing industry or a shrinking industry, that you're usually part of a larger ecosystem mm-hmm. when these decisions are made
mm-hmm.
or new management. Sometimes.
Well, I mean, I have another idea, which is if you are the number one salesman person, maybe it's time to start your own business.
Uh-huh.
Because you probably could take the business away from this person.
You could.
So that's just a thought.
Yeah.
I think the number one salesperson, unless you are the only salesperson, or the others
that's why you're number one.
The others are not very good. But if you're really good and you're on top,
yeah.
Usually that's what people do.
Right, the top people.
Because where are you going to go?
That
you either buy into that company because you basically they can't live without you.
Yeah.
So I think you have to figure that out. What is your next career move?
Yes. And also, that's a really good point. You should hire someone like Kathy to really contemplate that, right? Because mm-hmm. being self-employed is very different from working with a company, even if you are very commission-based, just
right.
in terms of self-management and the risk that you have
right.
to take on and those kinds of things.
A lot of people tell me it's not for them,
yeah.
that they don't mm-hmm. want that pressure. But, you know, compensation can only go up so much.
Yeah.
And as the number one, you know, one day somebody may come in younger than you, better looking than you, and they become number one. So you have to, make your deals then when you're doing
you're on
really
top.
Well. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing I was thinking is you can use your top sales record as the best advertisement for your qualifications for a better situation, right? I mean, wherever mm-hmm. you go and speak to individuals, you can at least use that piece of information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always been in sales. Sales is a tough one because products change, and just because you're hot today doesn't mean you're going to be hot tomorrow. Clients go away.
Uh-huh.
You know, you never, really know when it's going to be done, you know, when you're not number one. So, but if you are the number one, I really think you can make a deal.
Okay. How do you start that conversation?
Just say, this is not going to work for me. I work really hard.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I am accustomed to making this kind of money. And that's, you know, it's the deal I have. Uh-huh. In order to change the deal, why would I work so hard? And uh-huh. I don't think that's what you want. So let's work something out. Look, mm-hmm. if you're the number one salesperson, this is just another sale. This is just another client meeting. Exactly. That's all.
So you ask questions to uncover their needs, and you address their needs with your features and benefits.
And you close. You say, this is what I need. And you know, you're like a dog with a bone. You don't stop.
Yeah.
But, you know, in a certain point, you do have to say, all right, look, it's not going to happen.
Right.
And you walk away, you know.
Right. Well, actually, it's interesting because I recently worked with someone who was the top salesperson for a large, very established organization. Mm-hmm. But the problem was that management changed. Mm-hmm. And so then all of a sudden his sales record didn't matter. Ooh. Because the fellow who was then managing him just didn't want to deal with his success. He was threatened by his success.
Ugh.
Yeah. So.
So what happened?
He left.
Where'd he go?
He's seeking greener pastures.
And what did the new manager think? Bye-bye?
Yeah, the new manager, yeah. I mean, this is what's crazy, right? It's not business smart, but it was ego smart for this guy. Mm-hmm. And that's where sometimes things don't make sense. Sometimes it's just crazy.
Right. That's why it's my crazy office. Yeah, sometimes it doesn't make sense. And, you know, sales is kind of, it's a tough career. And
yeah.
You do want to incentivize your salespeople. But everybody hates the salespeople, you know, because
yes.
It looks like they're not doing anything.
They don't
and they
follow
make all the
rules
money.
Either.
They don't know. Well, what rules? You know, you just got to bring in the business. So, you know, I think they're undervalued sometimes.
Yeah.
And if the manager doesn't understand what goes into being a salesperson,
yeah.
then they're never going to value that person.
Right.
So you're better off going anyway.
I'm thinking, Logan, you were in sales, weren't you?
I was.
Uh-huh.
And there were great moments and there were not so great moments.
Right.
A lot of it had to do with management, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who's running the show?
Who's running the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's part of what we want to look for in this picture, which we don't see exactly, but why has compensation changed? If it's new management, there may be more that you need to investigate to see what's possible for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I hope this is helpful. Yeah, hope it's helpful.
We hope we've done a good deal for you.
You got to fight for it.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's it for this show.
It is. So tweet us your stories and advice about situations involving decreased compensation to AskK2. Please review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, and vote for My Crazy Office on Podcastland. Also, don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.